Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Militao goes for that, doesn't get anywhere near it. Real opportunity here. Lewandowski to Gavi. 3-0. Pedri arriving, converts it, and Barcelona are running away with this. It's a bit of a humiliation for Real Madrid.
Well, as we heard there, a dramatic Clásico on Sunday night. Hello and welcome to La Liga Lowdown. I'm Sam Leveridge. And to celebrate Barcelona's success, there's nobody better to join me than Román de Arquer, straight from Catalonia. Román, how does it feel to be Spanish Super Cup champions?
Well, it's kind of a relief, I'd say, because it's been a while since, of course, we've won a trophy here in Barcelona. It's been tough, you know, to get to this point. And I mean, I'm happy not just for the players, I'm happy for the club, I'm happy for the fans. I think it's something that all of Barcelona really needed to look forward to, believe in Xavi, to believe in the squad, to believe that we can make things work, do better in the future. So hopefully they can build up on this, and definitely very important and very happy to have won the Super Cup.
Yeah, I mean, it was a complete victory as well, wasn't it? I mean, this wasn't just a win. It was a complete trouncing of Real Madrid, especially in that first half. It was the first time in 37 Clásicos, going all the way back to 2011, that Real Madrid failed to get a shot on target in the first half of the game. And, I mean, Barcelona just completely dominated, didn't they?
Yeah, it was Barcelona from start to end. I mean, a lot of fans I was reading were very happy because it was probably one of the first or few games where Barca have really dominated completely a match, you know, because there's been moments this season of very good football, but it hasn't been consistent throughout. And there's been moments of, there's been moments where the team hasn't performed like maybe it performed in the first half and the second, you know, it would play worse, etc. So it was good to see that all throughout the game, Barca could keep up a really strong level of football. And I mean, we dominated the team. We dominated Real Madrid. We were the better side. The goals, the result proves it. And as you said, the stats, you know, because Madrid barely got good chances in this game. And we're talking about a Barca who struggled to defend, even though their numbers in La Liga are pretty good in terms of goals against and all that kind of stuff. It's still a tricky stat, I say, because Barca do tend to give away some important chances to their rivals. But in this game, very few were given. And we saw that the defense can also be very consistent if they're really focused in the game.
Yeah, I think the stat in the end ended up with Real Madrid. Obviously, they got that goal right at the death, almost the last kick of the game. I think they had 6 shots on target in total, but the first one wasn't until the 70th minute. I think that was really when Barcelona kind of took their foot off the gas, realizing this is the Super Cup. We don't need to break Juan Araujo and everybody else who was carrying injury. But, I mean, there were several big performances. I think one of them that we need to talk about is Gavi. I mean, was this the best game he's played for Barcelona yet?
Definitely. I mean, there's been a lot of controversy in terms of Gavi, whether he deserved to win the Golden Boy and all that kind of stuff, whether Bellingham was better, whether Musiala was better, etc. And people, I think, were not really taking or valuing, you know, the quality that Gavi has, because he's an extremely good player. It's true that maybe he's not so good, we could say, going forward, in the sense that comparing him, to Musiala or Bellingham, where these guys constantly score goals because they're always around the box, Gavi doesn't tend to be there as much. But in this game, he showed that he can also do those kind of things, you know, with the goal, with those two assists. He was constantly looking for spaces forward to try and help his teammates feed them balls, as we saw in the end in this game with those two goals he managed to provide. And I mean, Gabi is an exceptional talent. He's super young still. He's got so much to develop. He's got such a future ahead of him. And also he's got that character, which maybe Pedri doesn't have, for example, as much. You know, he's really intense all the time. You can tell that he's so passionate about every single minute he's on the field, and that's something that I think differentiates him from many other players, and that's a really good quality that Gabi has. So overall, I think he's a magnificent talent, and today he was, for me, the MVP of the match, no doubt.
Yeah, and Luis de la Fuente, the Spanish national team coach, went down into the pitch to give him his MVP award as well. So definitely fully deserved there. And another man who there were a lot of eyes on was Robert Lewandowski, and this was his third Clásico, if we include that friendly in the summer, and the first time he scored, and he completely dominated Antonio Rudiger in one of those kind of man-on-man battles that was going to decide this game. And he was just, his positioning was brilliant. He pulled the Real Madrid defence all over the place, and he just looked so powerful compared to the Real Madrid defence. I mean, Antonio Rudiger isn't a small guy. He's not weak or anything like that, but he really struggled in that battle. Roman, going forwards for Barcelona, this is Xavi's first title. But what does this mean for the rest of the season? Obviously, now a Liga title race up against Real Madrid, and also looking at the other competitions, the Europa League, the Copa del Rey. I mean, does this give Barcelona a bit of belief?
Yeah, it gives belief. And at the same time, it also probably requires them to do better in these competitions, because now they're going to be expected to do a bit more, because we can see that they can beat Madrid, they can win a title. So, of course, there's going to be maybe slightly more pressure on Xavi in a way. But at the same time, I think it's more of a beneficial thing, because, you know, the club kind of take something they had in their chest off, and it's a bit of a relief, we could say. So going forward in these competitions, I think it's going to help, no doubt. And of course, as I said, we're going to expect them now to do much better. La Liga, of course, is going to be tough right until the end, even though Madrid have been going through a bit of a slump lately. We've seen it, not just in this game. We've seen that their performances since a bit before the World Cup, they were already dropping points. You could see that their football wasn't as fresh or as good as we'd seen before. So definitely they're going through a moment. But I mean, they could easily get out of that situation and start winning and comfortably as they used to before. So it's going to go right until the end. I think there's going to be no comfortable winner in this competition. And in the Europa League, I think Barca are expected to win it again. Like last season, they were expected to win it. They disappointed very badly, but it's football. And hopefully now this time they can actually get further and win it, of course.
And so let's turn our attentions to the other half of this final, Real Madrid. I mean, how much of this battle was Barcelona being brilliant, and how much of it was Real Madrid being off the pace? They really didn't look their usual selves.
Yeah, I think there's quite a lot of that related to Madrid's poor performance. I mean, of course, I don't want to take credit away from Barcelona, because they played really well. They had really good ball control. They were generating. So, I mean, of course, Barca deserves a lot of credit, but it's true that, as I said, of late, Madrid haven't been as dominant, haven't been as capable going forward as they once were last season, or the start of the season, maybe we could say. They've really lost a bit of that punch. Benzema, who was stunning, isn't as maybe, it doesn't seem as important, we could say, as he used to be. Vinicius himself, he started off really good this season. He looked like he was going to explode and do kind of everything that he required from him in terms of going forward, scoring more goals, assisting. But then suddenly he's going through this blockage, I'd say. And he's still obviously important for them, but he's not as incredible as he was looking at once this season. And I think overall the team is going through this situation where they just don't, I wouldn't say believe, of course, what Ancelotti says, because Ancelotti's an experienced manager and he knows what he's doing. But he needs to solve some problems there, because, I mean, the squad should be capable of way more. And that's why I think this definitely had an impact on the game, you know, because Madrid just weren't capable at any moment to dominate the game, to close Barca down, because, you know, they're capable usually of that, of those counterattacks or of doing damage in various ways. But today wasn't the day for them. And I think that benefited Barca, of course.
Yeah, especially midfield. I thought they looked really off the pace, and that was a tactical change that Carlo Ancelotti made, wasn't it? With no Rodrigo, no Marco Asensio, instead of putting Eduardo Camavinga in, but he came off at half-time for the second game in a row. Luka Modric I think that's the worst. I remember him seeing him play in a long time. I mean, I guess it's normal. He's 37 years old and he's been playing in the World Cup 90 minutes every game for Croatia almost. So it's normal to see him fade away, but that will be a concern for Carlo Ancelotti. And looking ahead at the next month, they have Villarreal away at the Ceramica, a game they lost in the league, and now they face it in the Copa del Rey. Then they have Athletic Club at San Mamés. Then they have Real Sociedad at the Bernabeu. And then Valencia, again at home. Mallorca is a tricky away trip. And then they have the Club World Cup. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this season really depends on the next 3-4 weeks, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the month of February sometimes tends to be a tough one to, for teams, especially with a World Cup in between. I think that hasn't really helped anybody. Players are more tired. Luka Modric, you were mentioning himself. I mean, he's played so many minutes in the World Cup that now arriving to this key moment maybe in the competition, because, I mean, you have to try and avoid dropping too many points, then he's not as fresh as you maybe want him to be, and other players also in a similar situation. So now they're going to have to, you know, battle away through these games and scratch as many points as they can to not drop off too much. I think in the end, you know, it's Real Madrid and they'll be there. They'll keep fighting. They'll keep getting results, even if it's by a close win, or even if it's you know, a last minute goal that they tend to score as the club they are. So, I mean, we'll have to see what happens, but it's going to be a tough run of games for them at the moment. But I still think that Real Madrid have enough, you know, to compete and to fight for important titles.
Exactly. It's going to be a very interesting few weeks ahead in La Liga, in the Copa del Rey, and also with Europe coming back in February as well. It will be a very interesting period for all of these Spanish teams. So with that, let's end part one there. We've talked about the Super Cup. We've been in Saudi Arabia. Now we'll take a very short break to travel back to Spain, where we'll talk about all the La Liga action, starting off with a Basque derby, where we're joined by Beñat Gutiérrez to give us his take on exactly what happened at the Real Arena on Saturday night in another game, which was almost as entertaining as that Super Cup final. Stay tuned.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Pisar la pelota, aguantar el esférico por dentro para Merino. Merino y Zubimendi, Zubimendi, Merino. Le ha creado el espacio, la pone Zubimendi. Saca Vivian. Ojo Sorlo dentro del área, Sorlo. Gol, 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 ¡Gol de la Real Sociedad! Marca Sorloth, lo concede el asistente.
And I am now joined by Beñat Gutiérrez of the Choco podcast, which covers Basque football. Beñat, how are you after that suffering on Saturday night? I know you're an Athletic fan. I mean, it must have been quite hard to take.
Yeah, the results were not the best, obviously, but both were interesting games, and it's also interesting seeing how well, I would say, in general, Basque teams are doing it with an obvious king of Basque football right now, that is Real Sociedad.
I mean, this game was quite a strange one because it was very intense. Both teams were really going for it. But do you think it was more that Real Sociedad were very good, or was it the Athletic were very bad on the night?
I mean, first of all, I think this year Real Sociedad is being able to basically not need to set the pace of the game, or just, you know, they don't need to dominate the game to score goals. And that's very important. They have many quality players and they are able to just punish you if you make a mistake. And that was something that we could see clearly yesterday. At the same time, I think Athletic has some problems that are obvious, that Valverde knows that Athletic has those problems. And I'm talking about the midfield, I'm talking about the striker, but he's still not able to figure out what's the solution. We all know what the problem is, but the solution is not coming. And it seems actually that the team is going backwards, that it seemed a more brave team at the start of the season. And Valverde was taking more risks. He was putting more offensive talented players in the lineup, and he's not doing that. And he went back to, Vesga and Dani García in the midfield. That is something that many Athletic fans really hate. And every time they got pressure by Real Sociedad, that was a mess because they were not able basically to deal with that. And I think, honestly, at this point, what happened yesterday is a proof of the difference between both teams. Real Sociedad is steps ahead of Athletic at this point.
Yeah, that must be hard to say, but Athletic did put up quite a tough fight. I mean, Oifan Sunset got that goal just before half-time to make it 2-1. And it looked like maybe Athletic could come back into this game, but the moment which changed the entire game was the penalty and the red card. You had Ai Alvarez kind of leaning in to Take Kubo, who went down in the box. And it was a penalty and a red card because the referee considered that Yedai wasn't attempting to play the ball. What did you think, Benya?
I honestly don't see the penalty, or better said, I don't think that should be a penalty. But I think the issue is that we are getting used to see those things called in La Liga. And that's a problem. I was, reading many people on social media being like, oh yeah, the classic La Liga penalty. This is a soft contact, and there you have it. And it's true that, if he calls a penalty, obviously the red card goes with it. I think it's a problem for the league. Just besides whatever happened with the game yesterday, I honestly think Athletic didn't have a chance to beat Real Sociedad. And actually, this provides a very good excuse to justify what happened in the game. Being like, oh yeah, the referee was helpful. And yeah, I think it was. But the problem for La Liga is that this is really hurting their reputation out there. Like, seeing these kind of penalties against Athletic, against whoever, this is turning into a very common thing. And, I honestly don't think football fans want to see that. Don't want to see players send off, and they want to see these soft penalties because, okay, yeah, it's true that Athletic wasn't playing great, but the result was still tied. Basically, with that decision, the game was over. And this is going to happen again if they keep this criteria.
Yeah, I mean, I love one of the Spanish words that I love in football, penaltitos, little penalties.
Totally.
Kind of very soft penalties that I think you're exactly right what you say. I don't think you'd get that penalty awarded in the Premier League or the Bundesliga or anything like that. And I saw a report from Archivo Vive, who do some excellent coverage of refereeing, and they said that the Spanish Refereeing Association didn't think it should be a penalty. Yeah. So I guess we'll see next week if the referees are in action again, or if they're putting the Nevera in the fridge, as the Spanish like to say when the referee doesn't make a right decision. But I mean, looking beyond this game then, Benya, I mean, it was obviously a huge result for both teams. But what are your predictions for both La Real and for Athletic Club between now and the end of the season? I mean, Real Sociedad currently sitting third and closer to Real Madrid than they are to Atletico in fourth. And then Athletic, of course, in that race for the European positions on 26 points from 17 games. But at the time of recording, there is Atleti on 28 points in 17 games, Villarreal on 17 games, 28 points, Osasuna on 27 from 17, Rayo from 26 on 17 as well. And Real Betis are in there as well. I mean, that's a lot of teams all fighting for the same two places in Europe, right?
Yeah, clearly, I see Real Sociedad fighting for the Champions League spot. Right now, they are one of the most exciting teams to see in Europe. And it's amazing what they've done to this point. Without Oyarzabal for a long part of the season, it was coming back recently, yesterday. Oh, you have the chance to score the penalty and play some minutes. The main signing of their market, Sadiq, injured also, and they are still competing. It's amazing what they're doing. It is true that we've seen them in the past seasons that they struggle at the end of the year, that they have those months where they seem to run out of gas. But I'm seeing different things, and I'm seeing better things on Real Sociedad's playbook that make me think that they are going to be able to keep the pace till the end of the season. And for Athletic, I think it's going to be the same over and over again. Many things change, but the main issue is still there. Athletic is not able to win with when matters. And I think it's going to be close to those European competition spots, not Champions League, obviously, but maybe Europa League or Conference. But I have the feeling that it's not going to be enough. This part of the season is really important. After losing yesterday, then there's the Copa del Rey game against Espanyol. And then you have Real Madrid, which is another game that, you know, if everything goes normal, you're not going to win. So the dynamic is really negative, and Valverde needs to change things sooner than later.
Yeah, two teams definitely worth keeping an eye on through the end of the season. And as you say, Benya, I wonder if Mikel Oyarzabal and those players coming back from injury will help to keep those fresh legs going to the end of the season. They can avoid that end of season burnout we've seen from them before. Thanks for joining us, Benya, and hopefully Athletic will have some better news in the weeks ahead.
Hopefully. Thank you.
And it wasn't just in the Basque Country where we had action in Spain this weekend. It was also across the country, and we had one result in particular that stands out. Roman, Girona 2, Sevilla 1, a last gasp. It was the 89th minute that Yangel Herrera scored the winner, a deserved winner as well for Girona up against Sevilla. The result does mean that, as the results stand at the end of this weekend, Sevilla really are in trouble. They're in the relegation zone with 15 points from 17 games, with a two-point deficit, and also having played one game more than the two teams below them, Cádiz and Elche. What did you make of the game, and are Sevilla really relegation candidates?
I mean, they're there, so they have to be, you know. We can't not to say they're candidates, despite the squad they have, the players they have, the team they've been these past few years. I mean, the results are there. They're down at the bottom. And the longer you're there, the harder it is to get out, to climb out, to crawl out, you know, because it's a really tough position to be in. The pressure mounts, you know. We've seen the fans, how they're more and more unnerved. They're not happy at all. They're complaining. Even Monchi, who's a legend at Sevilla, is being questioned. Things are going absolutely wrong for the club. They got that result previous weekend where it seemed that maybe they could kind of start getting or climbing out of the relegation zone. But again, now what happened the other day against Girona, of course, that second goal where Nianzu, you know, made a massive mistake there, giving Girona the 3 points, is just another horrible blow for Sevilla, and it's looking so, so bad for them, honestly. I mean, there's still time, you know, they have the transfer market now to bring in some more players. They need fresh legs there to try and change things, but it's still going to be super tough for them.
Yeah, and one team who did benefit from that disappointment from Sevilla was Espanyol, who beat Getafe in another one of the games between two teams down there at the bottom. And I mean, there was talk of Diego Martinez, the Espanyol coach, being under big pressure if this result didn't go their way. But there were two fantastic goals in the first 5-10 minutes from Joselu, as always, for Espanyol, and then Enes Unal for Getafe. I mean, what do you make of these teams in that group, Roman? I mean, Getafe, Espanyol are both down there fighting. Sevilla, Celta Vigo by the lead. I mean, who do you think is going to be the first of those teams to pick up and find some form?
It's hard to predict. I mean, this season down there is pretty tightly packed. It seems like for a moment, for example, Valladolid before the World Cup, they were starting to get good results. They were playing good football. And then suddenly out of nowhere after the World Cup, they just can't manage to recover that form they were in. And now they're dropping. Espanyol have moments where they're playing good and it seems like they deserve a bit more, but then they struggle to get them, even though they finally got a good result against Getafe. I mean, that game was the game of the golazos, I'd say, because the three of them were fantastic goals, worth rewatching if our listeners haven't seen them. And it's packing up very closely. Celta de Vigo do seem to be improving a little bit. So, I mean, there's a lot of teams, very few points separating them. And at the moment, it's just so hard to predict. I'd even say that teams like Girona, Mallorca, who are a bit higher up, Valencia, could also, in no time, drop down the bottom and be fighting for in that relegation zone. So at the moment, this is a very, very extremely exciting battle.
Yeah, well, obviously, of course, Cadiz and Elche play each other on Monday night, the final game of the match day. But as things stand on Sunday night, when we're recording this, Cadiz are 19th on 15 points. And if we go all the way up to Atletico Madrid in fourth on 28 points, that's a 13 gap, which is the same as Atletico have from leaders Barcelona in first. So, I mean, that's, what, 15 teams spread out across the same points as three or four teams at the top. I think that says it all. There's a lot of teams, especially mid-table, who could end up fighting for Europe, but could end up battling relegation if the next few results don't go their way. And one of those teams who's kind of in that conversation is Osasuna. They beat Mallorca 1-0 on Saturday. And I think they're one of those teams who are always kind of in that group of not quite Europe, but maybe just if they fit some form. Do you think they could do that this season?
I mean, I think it's going to be tough. There's a lot of competition. It depends on what form we see from Athletic Club, Betis, Villarreal, etc. of late. Because, I mean, Athletic had a great start to the season with Valverde. They were really killing it. But then now they've maybe lost a bit of that quality, finishing off those chances they have. And they haven't really been as reliable at the back either. But, I mean, Osasuna, one way or another, they seem to be pretty consistent. They're getting, you know, their wins, 8 wins so far this season, which I think is fantastic for a team like Osasuna. And there is a chance. I think it'll be difficult, but there is definitely a chance. And if they keep up this level and they really make the most of their home ground, because I know that in past seasons, Sadar has been really a stronghold for them. They maybe lost a bit of that capacity of getting good results at home, but now they seem to be recovering the confidence when they're playing in front of their fans. So I think that could really help them if they want to achieve those European positions.
And as we're talking about Europe, the race for the top four and the fourth position in La Liga that nobody ever wants on this season is the same. We started off on Friday night with Villarreal, who've improved a little bit under Quique Setién in the last couple of weeks. But then against Celta Vigo, I mean, this was a strange game where they started the game well and then ended up being very, very lucky to walk away with a point.
Absolutely. I mean, nothing to do with the Villarreal we saw against Real Madrid not long ago. It's true the Villarreal started off decently. They had good chances. They got the goal pretty quickly. But then, you know, once they scored the goal, they kind of began to fade in terms of the football, in terms of the control they were having, in terms of generating chances. And as soon as Celta got the equalizer, from there on, it was all Celta de Vigo, you know, and they were pushing. They had way more opportunities. They easily could have taken the 3 points, even though it's true that Morales, right towards the end, did have that opportunity when he hit the crossbar. That could have really changed things for Quique Setién's players. But I think Celta probably were the team to deserve more. So I think Setién will be very happy to have snatched that point because there's still a long way to go. And you know, he's really changed things at Villarreal at the moment in terms of how he came in, you know, with all those defeats and bad results. Now things are looking up for the team. They're playing good football in most games. and they need to keep developing that, you know, because Villarreal are a team that I think a lot of us expected to be fighting for the Champions League this season, despite that their start maybe wasn't as incredible as we thought with the squad they have. But now, little by little, they'll hopefully be capable of building up from this and improving.
Yeah, and the XG on that game was 2.46 to Celta Vigo against 0.11 for Villarreal, which is quite some difference. And obviously, Jorgen Strand Larsen getting the goal, who's Tom Harris's favourite La Liga striker, if you haven't heard that in the past. He's a huge fan. And then another game where the XG perhaps didn't reflect the end result was Almeria Atletico Madrid, where the XG was 1.08 versus 2.08, but ended 1-1. Roman, from this game, I mean, it felt like Atleti had all the chances. It felt like if Jeffrey Condogbia had two brain cells and didn't decide to try and steal a goal of Marco Llorente on the goal line, Atleti could have won this game, and they didn't.
Yeah, it's a big surprise because, I mean, they definitely had the opportunities to win it. But, well, you know, the team is going through a bit of a rough patch, we could say. We know that this isn't the Atletico we all remember from Cholo Simeone, how he's really led this team in all along all these years. And now the team is going through this complicated situation, and even more complicated when you don't have the player of the quality of Joao Felix, or at least a replacement. We saw that he started Correa, who at the beginning of the season was barely playing, you know, so this comes to prove that there isn't really a reference up in attack, except for Griezmann, of course, who's been fundamental this season. But I think Cholo definitely needs somebody else up there, you know, because if he doesn't trust Alba Morata, and if Correa, you know, he'll have some moments of good football, but then again, he can easily disappear the way he came in. So I think that Atletico needs something up front, you know, to try and help them score those goals, finish off those opportunities, because as you said, they had the opportunities to win this game against Almeria, but unfortunately, whether it was Condogbia or whether it was their incapability of scoring, it really went against them. And now, of course, they dropped two important points there.
Yeah, Morata and Correa both had a few chances as well, and defensively, they were all over the shot with Mario Hermoso and Axel Witsel in central defence, with Josema Jimenez and Stefan Savage ruled out again through injury, which is kind of more surprising when they're both available than when they're both unavailable for Atletico of late. And that will mean that Real Betis, who have that game in hand, could leapfrog both Atletico and Villarreal into fourth place, but that game in hand is obviously against Barcelona, so not a given that they will take the 3 points from that one.
So, Roman, just to end on, what would you say is one of the surprises or the highlights of the weekend for you?
I'm very happy for Girona because, I mean, they've managed to not lose in the last seven games, which I think is a fantastic feat for a team that always tends to struggle a lot. Well, struggle the few times they've been in the first division, we could say.
All right then, Roman. So let's end on that note with the commentary from Yangel Herrera's late winner. And we will hear it with some of the most impressive goal shouting that I've ever heard from Radio Esports in Catalonia. And make sure to stay tuned across La Liga Lowdown's channels, llonline.substack.com, where we'll have Tom Harris delivering us some analysis of the Super Cup final bright and early on Monday morning. And also on Twitter, where we have our transfer thread ongoing for the January window. We have weekly roundups on our Substack as well. So make sure to keep an eye out across all of our platforms. Thanks for listening.
Encara ho intenta, espera que recupera la pilota, i molt bé, el Valeri, gol, 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 gol.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.